You're listening to Insight here on CAB Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. The way people vote shapes not just election outcomes, but also how voters engage with their democracy. Today, we're going to explore ranked choice voting, an election reform being promoted by local political interest groups like the Sacramento Latino Democratic Club and the League of Women Voters of Sacramento County. Proponents say it could make elections more fair and more inclusive, but the method has also drawn some criticism. Joining us to break down the practice and its potential impact on Sacramento elections is Josh Rosa, volunteer with Better Ballot Sacramento. Josh, welcome to Insight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start just with the problems of our current system of voting. Let's look at status quo. What's the issue?
Well, Sacramento currently uses a two-round runoff to elect their local officials. And that means that people vote for their top choice in the primary election in the spring. And then if no candidate gets a majority in the primary, then you vote, the top two vote getters will run again against each other in the general election in the fall. And this system creates a lose-lose situation for representation. Because on the one hand, if a candidate does win a majority in the primary election in the spring, then that settles the election and the candidate's elected and they get to be seated and nobody runs in the general election in the fall. That's a problem because the primary has extremely low voter turnout. And not only is the voter turnout in the primary small, but it's also disproportionately older, whiter, and more affluent. So it's really kind of a funhouse mirror distortion of what the community really looks like. And that's concerning because three out of every four races for city council are decided that way in the primary. Most voters who vote in every fall election, they've never seen their council member's name on a ballot. So you might think, okay, so three out of four races for city council have a bad result, but at least one of those four races goes to a runoff in the general election in the fall. So that's good, right? And unfortunately, that's bad too, but in a different way. Because when candidates go to a runoff, our system is essentially asking each candidate to fundraise for a whole second campaign. And so we place an enormous fundraising burden on candidates. If a candidate runs in the primary and then they run again in the general election, on average, that candidate is going to raise and spend $241,000 in change. So that's almost $250,000 for a local city council race. And we think that that's pretty excessive and it could actually harm representation. The other issue is just that it's expensive to administer elections. So why should the city be administering two elections to make one decision? We could save money by consolidating the decision in a single election. And by doing that in the fall with higher voter turnout, more voters would feel connected and have a voice in our choices.
And perhaps that candidate is spending less time raising money from, you know, moneyed interests and more time, you know, on the issues or talking to voters.
Ideally, yeah.
There's also, I'm thinking of a loophole that our top two primary created, and it was displayed, laid bare with the U.S. Senate race, where Senate candidate Adam Schiff kind of raised the profile of the Republican candidate. You probably know the story better than I do. As a way, you know, the Steve Garvey, the Republican, was on mailers, and it kind of raised that profile so that Garvey, the Republican, would get in the top two, and then there just wasn't any competition for Mr. Schiff to be U.S. Senator.
Yeah, the top two system really introduces a lot of opportunities for gamesmanship that can thwart the voters' intentions and ultimately pressure voters into making dishonest votes strategically, assuming they have to guess on at what the strategy is going to be.
So let's talk about the alternative, ranked choice voting. I read at KCRA that you are actually able to explain this to people in a crowded beer hall.
Yeah.
So I think if you can do that, you'll be able to explain it to our listeners.
I hope so. So ranked choice voting is a simple upgrade to the way that people vote, and it's being used right now in dozens of communities across the country. Ranked choice voting allows the voter to rank the candidates on their ballot. So instead of being limited to just marking your top choice, you also get to mark who your second choice would be if your top choice can't win. And so that way, if your top choice can't win, your vote slides over automatically and counts just as meaningfully for your second choice so that your vote isn't wasted. And this is very similar to the current system that Sacramento uses in our two-round runoff, right? You will pick your top choice in the primary election in the spring. And if your top choice doesn't make the cut, then later on in the fall, in the general election, you're going to vote for who your second choice would be. The difference is that ranked choice voting handles all of that in one election. So it seems pretty simple, but there's actually a lot of benefits that come from arranging a ballot this way.
Can you give us a little history of ranked choice voting? Like, where did it come from? How prevalent is it? And what are people saying about it?
So it was originally put into practice in Europe in the, you're challenging my history here, the mid-19th century. And today it's used in national elections in a handful of democracies that all have higher voter satisfaction than we do. And then it immigrated or its way to the United States in the early 20th century. And today it's used by just over 50 jurisdictions in the United States, representing about 13 million voters. Over the last 20 years, these communities have held over 500 elections using ranked choice voting. And in those elections, over 20 million ballots have been cast. So that whole process that I just kind of stumbled through of the voter picking their top choice and then marking their second choice as a backup, that's been done by everyday voters in real elections more than 20 million times. So it creates this huge body of evidence that we can look at and try to determine how ranked choice voting performs.
And tell our listeners why you want to bring ranked choice voting to Sacramento. How would this improve our local elections? Your organization said words like more inclusive. To who?
We would say primarily it would be more inclusive to the types of people who are marginalized in the primary election turnout. That's primarily that's young people, non-white voters, and renters versus homeowners. Those are the folks who are disproportionately underrepresented in the primary turnout. And it's problematic because, you know, as I mentioned, 75% of all city council races over the last 12 cycles have been determined in that primary election. So, you know, you could walk around and talk with friends and neighbors. Most people don't know who their council member is, because they've probably never seen their council member's name on a ballot unless they're one of those high propensity voters who votes in the primary.
So like our mayor's race, would we do away with people voting in a primary for Sacramento mayor and just have a general?
You would just ask all the candidates to run in the general election because that's where more people are voting.
So tell me about your organization, Better Ballot Sacramento. What makes up, who makes up your coalition? How long you guys been around?
Sure. So it's a coalition of local community groups that all support improving Sacramento's local elections with ranked choice voting. And it was launched by the League of Women Voters of Sacramento County a little over a year ago. And since that time, it's attracted a handful of other local community organizations to the coalition, all on the basis that the evidence shows ranked choice voting would be better for Sacramento. So, you know, our mission really is to just raise awareness of ranked choice voting, help our audiences understand how ranked choice voting works, because what we find is once somebody understands how it works, they're extremely likely to support putting it into practice. So it's more education than anything else.
And where does Better Ballot Sacramento get its funding, or the groups that are it's part of? You mentioned a couple of them. Where do they get their funding?
I'm sure we're all flattered that you assume we have funding. We have a very tiny budget that's provided by the League of Women Voters. They have this century-long history of dedicated volunteers and small contributors pitching in to help support civic education. And so the League supports the work that we do.
I want to get into some what the data says, what surveys, focus groups, just your knowledge of what people have said and outcomes that may have been looked at. Is there any nonpartisan third-party data showing greater public satisfaction with ranked choice voting than traditional winner-take-all elections?
Yeah, especially over the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, this topic has attracted growing attention among academic researchers. I would suggest Google Scholar, Douglas Amy, Kathleen Barber, those are professors who have published a fair amount on ranked choice voting. There is a research institute called FairVote, where if folks go to fairvote.org, they have a whole research compendium, and they publish academic studies from universities around the country looking at ranked choice voting. And as I mentioned, you know, we've got over 500 elections now where researchers can go into these communities. They do exit polling and other opinion research to try to understand how voters find their first experience of using ranked choice voting. And it's on that basis that we found out that large majorities find ranked choice voting to be simple, straightforward, and superior to the system that they had before.
Were there any numbers on does ranked choice voting increase or decrease voter turnout?
It correlates strongly with higher voter turnout. Now, there's a question as to is the ranked choice voting causing the higher turnout? There might be some endogeneity there because usually a community has to become pretty civically active to make the change to ranked choice voting. So somebody might say, well, those folks were going to start voting more anyway. And that might be the case. We don't know. But what we do know is that there's a huge correlation. The state of Maine historically has extremely high rates of voter turnout, which they're one of the few states that use ranked choice voting statewide. They had the highest voter turnout in the whole country in 2022. When New York City started using ranked choice voting in the 2021 primaries, they had the highest turnout that they've seen in over 30 years. So we know that it's paired with higher voter turnout. It's probably playing a role in causing the higher turnout because in a ranked choice voting election, candidates do a lot more voter engagement. Because if I'm running for office in a ranked choice voting election, of course I want your vote. But even if I can't get your vote, I at least want you to mark me as your second choice. So I'll see my opponent's yard sign in your front lawn. I'm still going to knock on your door. I still want to understand what you care about so I can see if I could find some common ground. So there's a lot more voter contact in a ranked choice voting election. And we think that's probably what's driving the higher turnout.
What about ballot exhaustion, where voters get tired and don't finish voting, or this concept of undervotes, where people again get tired and maybe skip a race on their ballot and move on to the next item? What does the data say about that?
Yeah, so that does happen sometimes. I think what ballot exhaustion refers to an instance where somebody might mark their top choice on a ranked choice voting ballot, but they don't fill out who their second choice would be or their third choice. And when the votes are tabulated, if they're silent on who their next choice would be, then the tabulation moves on and that voter has said their piece. That happens in just under 5% of ballots in ranked choice voting elections. There was a recent study that looked at over 300 elections, and they found there's somewhere, I think, 4.8% of ballots are, quote unquote, exhausted that way. Now, some of that might be because the voter is intentional and they say, hey, look, here's my top choice. And if they can't win, I really don't have an opinion among the other candidates. And we think that's a legitimate stance to take. I know, you know, when I'm filling out my ballot, there are races where people just choose not to vote because, you know, I don't really have an opinion on this. There might be a small part of that 4.8% where voters are genuinely confused and they might have some ballot error. And that's a piece where I think more education is really important, but the ballot errors in ranked choice voting elections are not any higher than ballot errors in our conventional system that we use now.
And what about undervotes when someone maybe skips the ranked choice voting and goes on to other measures? Are we seeing that?
I don't know that we're seeing that. I would have to look at the research about that question.
Do you think there is research about that question? One thing you mentioned is that it sounds like a lot of the data that's coming out about this are from actual proponents, these academics that are pushing ranked choice voting. Is there data outside from nonpartisan sources that are just kind of looking at this maybe more objectively?
There's certainly some scrutiny, and there is some academic criticism out there as well. I think, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting, and this is maybe the quintessential challenge for any reform, is that when you introduce a new idea, that idea comes under a lot of scrutiny, as it should. But the scrutiny that the new idea gets is usually much bigger than the scrutiny that our current system gets, right? Everyone takes our current system for granted. All its warts and problems, we all just figure, well, that's part of the process. Let's scrutinize the new idea, which is fair. But so academics are really kicking over every rock they can to look at ranked choice voting. And that brings us to this recurring theme in our conversations with different audiences where we'll clarify. We're not saying that ranked choice voting will solve every problem. It only solves some problems. And in particular, it'll solve some of the problems presented by our current system.
Now, I remember when she was running, then Mayor London Breed went on KQED Political Breakdown and suggested that voters just vote for her in a ranked choice voting system. Now, she didn't win. What do you make of a candidate that does that? And what do we know about the impact of a candidate that suggests voters simply vote for them and no one else?
I think that's a fair message for a candidate to tell the voters, and voters can make up their minds about what to do about it. You know, famously, when Sarah Palin recently ran for the U.S. House in Alaska, that was Sarah Palin's strategy. She said, don't bother ranking, just give me your vote. And she ended up losing that election. So I think it's a fair strategy. They can say, you don't need to have an opinion on my opponents, just support me. And the voters can make up their own mind.
There was a lot of media attention on this cycle on the influence of low information voters, those voters that don't pay attention a whole lot to the news. Maybe they're not even thinking about who they're going to vote for until, you know, maybe the days or weeks leading up or when they finally sit down to vote. How can we expect the average voter and maybe a low information voter to learn about the platforms of multiple candidates instead of just the one they like and then rank them in multiple races?
That's our biggest concern, I think, with our current system. I think we have to make sure that candidates are able to talk to those voters. I mentioned the groups that are marginalized in the low turnout primary. The most pronounced case of that is on the basis of age. Voters between the ages of 18 and 24 are almost a non-entity in the primary election turnout, which is a problem because, again, the primary election in Sacramento is what's choosing our city council members 3 out of 4 times. So, you know, Gen Z now is, you know, they've come into their own as a voting cohort. And it's concerning that their main introduction to politics these days is TikTok, Twitter, and Joe Rogan, oriented around these ideologically charged national tug-of-war issues. So we've hollowed out local civic participation. Young people, no one's knocking on their door saying, I'm running for city council, will you support me? And so we think that that's a problem. There's something lost in local citizenship. And I think the best way to educate low information voters, including young people and other low information voters, is to give them a voice in our local elections. And that means holding the local election in the general election in the fall, because you can rely on the presidential race to bring these people out to the polls in the election. But if the city council race isn't on the ballot, then city council candidates aren't going to be knocking on their door.
Just in our last 20 seconds, what about the susceptibility to propaganda? Voters that maybe like one candidate and then with the others, they only go off of what they get in the mail. And as we know, those mailers can be mudslinging and stray from the truth.
Yeah, it's certainly a problem in our current system is independent expenditures, untruths delivered by mail. We think that with ranked choice voting, you'll see a lot less of that. We do know that the research finds that there's actually less negativity, even in the media coverage of local elections, when it's a ranked choice voting election.
Because they want to at least get number two or number three, so you might be less inclined to bash your opponent.
And you intentionally search for common ground.
Josh, that's our time. Thank you very much.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Josh Rosa is a volunteer with the Better Ballot Sacramento Coalition, which is advocating for bringing ranked choice voting to the capital city. Next up, we're speaking to the Sacramento Bee's Benji Eagle about the Sacramento region's top 50 restaurants. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.